Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Salasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the world of health, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. If there's something new, or even something old, I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's real or not. You can check the other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. Scientists continue to research the causes of obesity. In the study I'm going to review this week, the researchers are going prenatal. The Copenhagen Prospective Studies on Asthma in Childhood 2010 is an ongoing longitudinal study to examine the effects of omega-3 supplementation in the third trimester of pregnancy on a number of factors. Now, the primary objective was to see if allergies and asthma were reduced in the offspring of women who took an omega-3 fish oil versus those who took a placebo. Asthma, or persistent wheeze, showed a 31% reduction in risk in the group receiving the fish oil compared to 23% in the placebo group. Not overwhelming, but a positive benefit. The researchers also collected a variety of anthropometric data, assessed body composition, and took blood samples for metabolic and blood lipid measures. In a prior paper, when the children were six, the omega-3 group were about 1 pound heavier, but with a proportional increase in lean and fat mass. Now, in the current analysis at age 10, the omega-3 group were determined to have an increased body mass index, increased risk of being overweight, a tendency of increased fat percentage, and a higher metabolic syndrome score when compared to the placebo group. Now, that doesn't sound very good. Does this mean that women should avoid omega-3 fish oil during pregnancy, especially in the third trimester? Let's dig a little deeper. Now, these are excellent researchers. There's nothing questionable about the design of this study for the most part, or in the way they collected and analyzed data. What I would question are some of their methodologies and the way they interpreted the data to arrive at their conclusions. I think the best place to begin is by reading the conclusion statement of the abstract and then take a look at what they said and then examine the data from the paper to see if it supports those conclusions. Here we go. In this randomized clinical trial, children of mothers receiving omega-3 fish oil supplementation had an increased body mass index at age 10 years, increased risk of being overweight, a tendency of increased fat percentage, and a higher metabolic syndrome score. These findings suggest potential adverse health effects from omega-3 fish oil supplementation during pregnancy and need to be replicated in future independent studies. And that's the end of the quote. Well, let's break this down a little bit. I like to start with the means and standard deviations. When you look at the differences in body weight, there was an overall 2 pound difference between the fish oil group weighing more than the placebo group. Neither group was classified as being overweight by international standards, but with height being equal, that meant the body mass index would be higher in the fish oil group. Now, is that meaningful in the real world? The body mass index of both groups were considered to be healthy at 17.4 versus 16.9 when looking at those raw numbers. In fact, when you consider the range of body mass index for 5 to 10-year-olds as a comparison, one could argue that these children were all below normal weight. The increased risk of being overweight has to do with the rate of change in weight over time. It's called the adiposity rebound, and it was not statistically significantly different. Comment, increased risk of being overweight, isn't supported by that data in any way I can see. I'm going to skip the tendency of increased percentage of body fat for now and move to the higher metabolic syndrome score. Metabolic syndrome is the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. The researchers calculated the score using an algorithm that considered waist circumference, systolic blood pressure, negative HDL cholesterol for some reason, and the log of triglycerides as well as the homeostatic model assessment for insulin resistance. We're going to call that HOMA for short. Now, I'm going to be the first to admit that I'm no statistical whiz, but this is why I question the outcome. There was just a 0.3-inch difference in waist circumference, with the fish oil group being slightly higher. There was no difference in triglyceride levels, and the fish oil group had a higher HDL cholesterol level than the control group, which is considered better. There was no difference in systolic blood pressure between the groups. Now that leaves us with the HOMA calculation. Now here's what I question. Typically, to do this, you need serum insulin, but they didn't analyze the blood that they took for that purpose. They did assess that data from the blood collected in a slightly different way. They used a different indicator of insulin levels in calculating that score. Now, the problem is this. When I dig into something, I looked up the reference for using that calculation. It was based on 21 adult subjects, never validated in a larger group, nor validated in children. Now, to use that on children doesn't seem like a reasonable thing to do. So in my mind, the entire calculation done to assess risk is suspect, as there were no meaningful differences in any of the variables. But looking at means and standard deviations can hide some things. So for argument's sake, let's say that despite the modification of how the HOMA was calculated, their risk of developing type 2 diabetes, that is, things could even themselves out. The real problem that I have is with the remark about a tendency towards increased percent body fat. At 6 years old, they use what's called a DEXA scan to assess body composition. Now, over the years, that's become state of the art. But when they assess body composition at 10 years of age, they used bioelectrical impedance analysis. You may actually own a scale that calculates body fat that way. I worked on impedance analysis when I was a grad student at Michigan State. There are two things that are concerning when using impedance analysis to assess body composition. First, the algorithm is 95% dependent on height and weight. Now, it could be that there are new algorithms today, but a 2-pound difference in body weight in children could impact the calculation. Second, impedance analysis is extraordinarily sensitive to fluid levels of the body. It was first developed to assess total body water in patients with congestive heart failure. It assesses total body water and calculates fat mass by making assumptions about the water content of the remaining tissues. Under controlled hospital conditions, can work quite well. But it doesn't seem like the best way to assess body fat in a major study, and especially when assessing children. How? I hear that a lot when my grandson plays his video games. When something happens that he doesn't anticipate or understand, he screams out, "How?" And that's what I screamed when I read the conclusions. The most frustrating part of this research paper is that their conclusion is that omega-3 supplementation in the last trimester of pregnancy may result in adverse effects to children. What frustrates me is that they gave absolutely no potential mechanism of action. How would supplementing with omega-3 fatty acids cause the offspring to have an increased risk of being overweight or obese, especially when the supplementation began so late in the pregnancy in the third trimester? Perhaps in the first trimester as the fetus is developing, but in the third? What genes would be activated or mutated that would result in obesity? And there are other questions that I have as well. There were no nutritional data taken on the mothers. We don't know how many omega-3 fatty acids they got from their normal dietary intake that they ate during the study. Also, they didn't use an omega-3 blend from plant sources, and they didn't use omega-3s from food sources either. Those would certainly make the study more complex, but as it stands now, we really don't know much more than we did in 2010 when the study began, other than that the kids whose mother took omega-3 fatty acid had fewer serious asthma and allergy symptoms. As for the body composition and the impact on future obesity, not so much. But the observations will continue through adulthood, so time will tell. As for me, I'm all out of time. So until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.